Congratulations, Toronto FC, on advancing to the MLS Cup Final. We are radio's home of the MLS Cup. Saturday, December 9th on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. This is TFC Pitchside, MLS Cup Edition, with your hosts, Marco D'Onofrio and Thomas Michalakos.
It's MLS Cup Week. It's TFC Pitchside. I'm Marco D'Onofrio. He's Thomas Michalakos. Emil Delich is behind the glass producing. Craig Forrest will join us in a little bit. And boys, we've got ourselves a rematch.
Vengeance is coming. I've been saying it all along on Twitter. I'm not going to talk like a normal host and try to keep it straightforward. I'm going to talk like a fan, and I can't wait. It's all going to be trash talking, a podcast filled with trash talking, and I love having you in the studio, especially when we're going to be trash talking, because it's always good.
We had a great time at last year's MLS Cup.
Wow, this towards year, the end. Yeah, it wasn't so good at the end, but yeah. All the buildup, great time.
This year we do it again, and from a Toronto FC point of view, maybe things will change a little bit. But
they better.
For the second consecutive season, the Seattle Sounders will visit BMO Field to take on Toronto FC to crown the MLS champion. The difference? This year, Toronto FC come into the match not only the Supporter Shield champion, I mean, they were the Canadian champions last year as well, but they're also the Supporter Shield champions going for that treble.
We talked about it before the show, and TFC making it last year, it was such happiness for the fans, almost as if, well, not almost as if, we didn't expect it. So it was great to be there as a fan, as a player, as anyone who has any association with the club. It was great to make it to MLS Cup. This time, this year, it was expected. The fan, the hoorah surrounding the win was a little bit more muted. Aside from on the field with the whole confetti and the trophy, I'll talk about that later. I've got issues with that. But it's more of an expectation. Yeah, damn right you made the MLS Cup because you have to be there.
We better be there after the season you had. Now, here's the thing, though, and I'm glad you mentioned that, because it feels much more business-like this season, where you're right. Last year, especially beating your bitter rivals, the Montreal Impact, to get to the MLS Cup, it was a massive party. It was almost like the job had been done already. This season, things have changed a little bit, both from a fan point of view, from a media point of view. Everybody seems a little bit more comfortable in what to do and what to expect here in MLS Cup week leading up to the big game. With that said, still a little nervous?
Not at all. Not at all. And I'm going to say this from the bottom of my heart. They're going to smash them. Now, I don't mean smash them, you know, 5-0, 6-0. That would be great. But TFC is going to stuff Seattle. It has to be. It has to go that way. I can't have it any other way. We were there in the cold last year, froze our asses off, okay? When it ended, it felt like I was just shot in the face, walked to my car, went home. You did the exact same thing. The mass exodus started. This year, again, at home, against just the same opponent, it has to be a victory. I'm not even letting my mind go to a defeat. It has to be victory.
I will never forget watching that ball from behind the net just bounce off that crossbar when Morrow hit it, and that
we
was...
We were right behind there, too, yeah.
Silence. And Vanny also says the team learned a lot during last year's final, especially off the field when the league came in and took over and staying away from all the media at times, because there's a whole hoopla around this big game. It's like the Super Bowl. It's Super Bowl week. So not only are you preparing for this game, but you're dealing with media obligations, fan obligations, and this year, they're a little bit better prepared for that. But let's talk about this conference finals before we get into too much into looking ahead and talking about that MLS Cup game. Because this was almost the complete opposite of what we saw last year. Last year, we saw 10 goals scored in the conference finals regulation time. This year, we saw one. We're going to have Craig Forrest on in a little bit, and we'll get his goalkeeping expertise for sure. But was this the clash of the goalkeepers this season?
Absolutely. You have to look at Zach Steffen and Alex Bono and say, they're the future of U.S. goalkeepers. moving forward. Now with the team out of the World Cup, Tim Howard, Brad Guzan. Brad Guzan hasn't had as many chances as Tim Howard, but Tim Howard has moved on. Brad Guzan's there. He did what he had to do. He's not a bad goalie. He's just older now. You have to let this fresh new faces come in. And yeah, these are the two goalkeepers that are going to lead the U.S. into the next generation of goalkeepers. They're unbelievable. They're young. They're proper veterans. They show that they can hang on the big stage. How can it not be? One and two, I see it. I see Bono Stefan, 1-2.
A lot of people ripping on Vasquez for missing that penalty kick. Ultimately, it didn't hurt Toronto FC at all. But you got to give Zach Steffen some credit, as you alluded to. He saved 7 of 13 penalty kicks, including penalty shootouts. He's a huge reason. And let's not forget against that game against Atlanta. He's a big reason they got to where they got to and ultimately just fell so short, so close, came within inches of reaching that MLS Cup final.
Goalkeepers are on an island of their own. It's always that. It's an island of one. The reaction after on Twitter and, you know, talking to my friends on group chats and everything, the reaction was, oh, how could he miss? Why was he taking it? Why didn't Giovinco take it? Had nothing to do with the kick taker. The shot was perfect. The goal, Zach Steffen just made an unbelievable save. And just like everything else in soccer, goalkeepers get no love. No love. It's why did he miss? Not holy crap, that was an amazing save. Because it was right to the corner.
And if you were there and you watched the post-game press conference with Vanny and Bradley joined alongside him, Vanny mentioned some of the facts that, you know, this year they really had to battle to get into that MLS Cup final. But this year, they also have more ways to win games compared to last year. This team has more options. They're a fuller team, a deeper team. How important do you think that was in this two-legged series against Columbus?
I think the fact that they went this far last year, like any team, you learn. You learn how to play. You learn how to deal with adversity. TFC learned how to deal with adversity quite well. You saw it this season. They lost at home. They made the goal the next day of what they wanted to do. You heard Josie speaking. He mentioned that on Sportsnet.ca with John Molinaro. They planned this. They almost envisioned this. They lost, they regrouped, and they set from there to envision of making it to MLS Cup, hosting, winning the Supporter Shield. You know, like, what's that thing where if you see it, you believe it, it will happen? Well, it's happened. They're there. Now, they've obviously envisioned themselves lifting the cup. Let's see them lift the cup this time. Great. They're basically a different team than they are last year. You saw that they needed goals to win last year. This year, not so much. They know how to shut it down. So I don't see anything but clear victory for TFC on Saturday.
And if you can't see the game or watch the game on Saturday and you can't be in attendance at BMO, you can listen to it right here on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. TFC Pitchside original host Dan Riccio being flown in from Vancouver to call this game alongside James Sharman. Pre-game starts at 3:30. So if you can't watch it or you can't be there, you can listen to it. That's for sure. Let's get into Greg Vanny's post-game or training quotes, because after the match, a couple days later in training, he actually came up with an interesting quote. And this is, he's just saying, that will be interesting when you haven't had a super intense game to have to come into one that is ultra intense. We'll try to use that as best as we can. He's, of course, alluding to the fact that the Seattle Sounders haven't necessarily had to play too many competitive games leading up into this point. I mean, keep in mind, the top five teams in that Supporter Shield race were from the Eastern Conference. Clearly, it was a more difficult conference to get through to get to this point. But head coach Schmelzer from the Seattle Sounders wasn't buying it too much. The reason why I don't have anything against that quote is because if you guys, the media, think or anybody thinks that we need locker room blackboard material, you guys are sadly mistaken, because my team is ready to go, he said. I don't need to put that up on a board. Dempsey, Ladero, Ozzie, Jordan, Roman, Steph, all those guys are ready to compete. So that to me was a little bit of a side salad there.
Yeah, and all those guys you just mentioned, are going to get their asses handed to them on Saturday. Is that okay to say?
You know, no, it's not, because
do I have to unbiased?
No, and here's why.
Because I can't.
The last time I came on this show and I said the Red Bulls had no chance at turning things around to beat TFC in that second leg, we saw how close things got, and I almost ate a whole lot of crap as a result of that. So you, sir, are not allowed to comment, because this is going to be a massive game. And whatever you've got to say about the Sounders, this is probably a better Sounders team that came into BMO Field than last year. And I mean, this is also a better TFC team that's coming into BMO on Saturday, but it's going to be a mouth-watering tilt.
I'll tell you one thing. If I believed in voodoo and jinxes, maybe I wouldn't say that. I don't think what I say will have any effect on the pitch. They're either going to win or they're going to lose. My way of looking at things is I'm going to remain positive. I do not see how they're going to break. I can't see Josie, Vanny, Giovinco, any of the boys, Vasquez, allowing this to slip away. Now, in saying that, this has happened twice in the MLS before, back-to-back teams playing each other. Happened with Houston and New England, and it also happened with Houston and LA. And both times, one team won.
Let's go to the Kia Trading Ground, where we had 680 News' Michael Leach and some of his training thoughts, because he's been there covering this team inside out all season long.
Training Thoughts with Michael Leach.
Toronto FC returned to training this weekend after a few quiet days in the aftermath of the Eastern Conference final win over Columbus. The burning question to head coach Greg Vanney this past Saturday revolved around Josie Altidore and his status for the final on Saturday afternoon.
We're confident that he'll be ready. We, you know, obviously, until we really get him on the field running and sprinting and changing directions, we'll know exactly where he's at. But the MRI and the reports that he's giving and how he's feeling are positive. And we will, you know, we'll progress how we need to progress. We'll have everybody ready to go, and we'll see where he's at as we get closer.
With Seattle winning the West, the inevitable thought for TFC might be about getting revenge for last year's loss in the MLS Cup final. For Justin Morrow, the memory of last year remains, but the goal for Toronto FC is much bigger than just beating the Sounders.
It's inevitable now that the matchup is the same. There's the history there that we'll think of last year, and we'll go back over that match, and we'll go back over how we felt all individually and as a team as well. But it was a goal of ours at the beginning of the year to win, and we didn't say, oh, we want to beat Seattle in the MLS Cup. We said we want to win the MLS Cup. And so it just happens that now it's Seattle, and we'll revisit all those feelings, but we need to.
The road back to the MLS Cup final for TFC hasn't been easy, having to survive against the Red Bulls on away goals and then fighting tooth and nail for a winner in the second leg against Columbus. The path for the Sounders? Yeah, it's been a lot more smooth. But Vanny thinks that not being really pushed by either the Whitecaps or Dynamo could work against Seattle going head-to-head with the battle-hardened Reds.
That game's never really opened up, and teams never really pushed against them to create some havoc or problems for them. And to their credit, they managed what they had to manage. So I do think they're a good defending team. I don't take anything away from them, but I just don't think the intensity of the games that I watched was the same as the games in the Eastern Conference, and that will be interesting when you haven't had a super intense game to come into a game that is ultra intense.
It's been pretty well documented that the Sounders left BMO Field last year with one more trophy than shots on goal. Morrow says not to expect a repeat performance because this Seattle team is more potent offensively than last year's group.
Last year, I think offensively they were a very different makeup. You know, Clint didn't play for a large part at the end of last year. He's a big part of their team. They brought in Will Bruin and Rodriguez, and Jovan Jones has moved further up the pitch, and so they're a little bit more dynamic in their attack. I think that changes the way their team mentality.
TFC took a day off from training on Monday, but will be back at it on Tuesday at the Kia Training Ground. The team will also train on Wednesday and Thursday at Kia before one final run-through on Friday at BMO Field, ahead of the game against the Sounders on Saturday afternoon.
Shout out to Michael Leach of 680 News for that. Great line, by the way. They left with one more trophy than they had shots on net. I love that. We heard from Justin Morrow there, MLS in the MLS Best 11. So congrats to Justin. We heard from Greg Vanney talking a little bit about what we had mentioned earlier about that lack of intensity in the Western Conference. And of course, we heard about Josie's status looking good to go. And let's be honest here. Is there any doubt that he's going to play on Saturday? Whether he is 100%, 50%, heck, if he's 20%, I think he's the kind of guy who's going to go out there and he's not missing this one.
No, there's no doubt in my mind that Josie will play. Will he start? I'm not sure. Will he play? Absolutely.
He's starting. He is starting.
I'll tell you why I'm saying he might not start, but he will play. Is if it's not 100%, you're not going to go with him to start at 100%. It depends on where he is. He's not 100%. You can't let him go because what if he tweaks it early? You rather save it a little bit for later.
Could we potentially see a repeat of last year in terms of Jovinko being asked to get subbed off in that MLS Cup? Could we see the opposite this year with Josie? I mean, would Josie do that?
No, because Josie didn't ask to get subbed off even after he rolled his ankle. And the guy's a beast. Say what you want about him, but when he went down initially, there was no hope in my mind that he was coming back, given on what happened. When you see it, you're like, oh, he rolled it. He's done. And then the fact that he came on again, like he stayed on, and then the second time he goes down, you're like, for sure he's off now. But no,
but he
came back.
It speaks of him being a team player, and he talked about it in the post-game press conference, basically saying that he came back on. He didn't think he was good to go. He wasn't good to go, but he wanted to give substitutes some time to prepare, to warm up, to get onto that pitch. So he was really just biding some time, and it worked out for TFC, all right.
I'll tell you one thing, though. When you roll your ankle,
it's brutal.
The little cuts.
It's brutal.
It's almost impossible. So even seeing that goal and how he scored it, what angle he was at, where he had to plant his foot, where he had to kick it, just you know he's running on adrenaline. And I just love the fact that once he scored, cameras got him, started bashing his chest. This is my house. This is my house. That's all I kept
saying. And what killed me was those celebrations. And even that he addressed. He said, no, I was feeling it the entire time I was celebrating.
Didn't look like it.
Heck, you know what? How often do you get the goal to send your team to the MLS Cup final? And so rarely in life do you get an opportunity to go back and change something or correct a wrong. TFC have that opportunity this year.
Altidore is going to be smashing heads and eating them. He's going to literally be eating them after he smashes them to oblivion.
TFC started the match in a 3-5-2 and then kind of went to a diamond in the second half with Delgado coming on. Did you like the change? Because clearly it worked.
I never question Mr. Vanney. He's always, well, like I say always, but majority of the time he makes the right decision. He knows his players. He knows what they can do. When we have a coach like this, Greg Vanney with TFC, don't really question him. Don't really question him. Let him roll. He's showing you that he is successful. Look at the results. They're always moving forward. He's always elevating. He always out-coaches his opponent, minus last year. But really, last year in the final, it wasn't that he was out-coached. When you put 10 guys behind the ball and you don't take a shot on goal, you're playing for penalty kicks. Very difficult to break down. I don't see Seattle doing that this year. I don't think they're going to go playing for kicks, given how TFC, yes, they scored a lot of goals this season, but in the playoffs, it's not only about goals. They're a little bit more, you know, focused on defense. So it's not going to be open for Seattle. It's not going to be open for it's going to be more of a battle. We're going to see an entertaining match. Because last year's match, 120 minutes, wasn't that entertaining.
But you're watching two of the three best defensive teams in the MLS when Toronto takes on Seattle. So maybe we'll see a repeat of last year.
I don't think we're going to see a repeat of last year's boredom for 120 minutes. But it'll be chippy.
Let's talk. I just quickly want to talk about Vanney because one, MLS Coach of the Year, deserved, well-deserved. And
no question.
And I think where he doesn't get the credit he deserves is that he came in, and Emil Dalich, producer Emil, and I were there at Ryan Nelson's last press conference when he basically just blasted Tim Bezpachenko. And you could feel the tension in that press conference room. And Tim was standing at the back just staring at him. And, I mean, we got the text or the email the next morning that Ryan had been fired. Greg coming in, it was the bloody big disaster year that was Jermaine Defoe, and nothing went right. Greg was not able to, I think there was like 9 games left, 10 games left, if that, left to go in the season. They were not able to get into the playoffs that year, but we've seen the growth, not only for Vanny, but
season
from
after
this team.
Season. Yep.
In 2015, they were ready to go nuts when they made the playoffs. They celebrated like they had won the MLS Cup, eliminated the first round by the Montreal Impact. Last year, they learned their lesson from that, took it a step further, a couple steps further, made it to the MLS Cup final, where ultimately they came up just short. And this year, like I said earlier, it's that business-like mentality. And we'll see what Saturday holds, but it's going to be an interesting one. And TFC fans, I get why you're nervous. I'm a Buffalo Bills fan.
Don't be nervous.
I don't even want to mention the Bills. And
don't
what
be nervous,
with them
TFC fans.
In the early 90s, but we're going to see. And the pressure is definitely on this club, especially because for the second year in a row, they will be hosting it.
Pitchside's man of the match.
So, Thomas.
It's pretty straightforward, isn't it? I think we're going with the same guy.
I think we have to.
How can you not?
But we're going to go with him for different reasons.
Go ahead, I'll let you go.
And it was something I alluded to a little bit earlier. The fact that he simply went back on the pitch to buy time so that one of his teammates could warm up and get on there for him, I think just speaks volumes. Because he could have been like, honestly, I can't go back out there, play a man down for a few minutes, and then try to go. But he went out there with a warrior spirit and got it done for his club.
Whatever the reason he stayed, he said it was to, you know, give his team some time to get warmed up, whatever the reason, whether he wanted the glory of the goal, whether he was being the team player that he is a warrior. He showed it. He proved it. How does this city has embraced him like one of their own, and he's reciprocated for it. Got to go with Josie. Josie's the man.
And the man coming up after this short, tiny little break is Sportsnet's very own and Canadian goalkeeping legend, Craig Forrest.
Follow the guys on Twitter at Kubani7 and at UnfitRef. Going to the MLS Cup Final again. Redemption time is now. We are Radio's home of the MLS Cup Final, Saturday, December 9th on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Hey, this is Alex Bono, and you're listening to TFC Pitchside.
And we are so honored to be joined by Canadian goalkeeping legend and Sportsnet's very own Craig Forrest. And Craig, we labeled the conference finals the clash of the goalkeepers. How impressed were you with both Stefan and Bono, the young goalkeepers in that two-legged series?
Yeah, both of them have played really, really well. You know, Bono's in... made an incredible save, you know, in every game, a pivotal part of the games, and certainly that first leg against Columbus, not a ton of work to do, but a couple of really important moments that could have made a much difference, especially coming back to Toronto FC in the second leg. So, Stefan Fry, he's done really well. I mean, it was one of those situations with him. He didn't really want to leave Toronto. It was a situation where he'd been traded away and moved on. And I felt, I think, a little bit let down. And then last year, he was the hero for Seattle Sounders in the final against Toronto. And here he is again playing extremely well, you know, back with a good defense as well. They're a good, solid Sounder side. There's no question. we'll look to double up and win back-to-back titles.
Now, Alex Bono gets a lot of credit, and deservedly so, but I've been saying it all season, seeing him play and just get better and better. I think he's going to Europe sooner rather than later. As a former goalkeeper, he played in the EPL. Can you please tell me what you see that makes this kid special?
Well, obviously his shot stopping is really good. And, you know, most at the top end of the sport will be good at shot stopping. Not all, you know, exceptional, but shot stopping is one of those things that you have to be definitely good at. He is that. He's quite commanding of his box. He organizes his defense. He has some pretty good players in front of him that have protected him somewhat. And then when they haven't, he's come up with those saves. Distribution is something I think he still needs to work on the deck. That needs to be better. But overall, really has impressed me the way he's commanded and had the confidence and hasn't been fazed by any of this pressure that that could be the case for somebody like Alex Bono in the situation in the space where he's at right now in his career.
While Sporting Kansas City had the best defensive record across MLS during the regular season, Toronto and Seattle finished just behind them. Do you think we could potentially see a repeat on Saturday of last year's 0-0 result going into penalty kicks again?
Oh, I hope not. I really hope not. You want to see a thrilling match, which, you know, I think, you know, the Columbus game is, although it was only 1-0 in the end, not so much the first leg, but the second leg I thought was certainly nail-biting and still exciting. So you don't need a high score line, but Seattle didn't have a shot in 120 minutes until penalties. So we don't want to see that type of thing again. And I don't honestly think we will. I think we'll see lots of opportunities. It'll be somewhat cagey, but there'll be mistakes. There'll be opportunities. They've got a little bit more this time around. Clint Dempsey's obviously fit. He wasn't last year. Victor Rodriguez is come into the team. He adds a little bit more offense. Will Bruin as well, Svensson. So they've got more, and as well as Toronto FC. You know, with Victor Vasquez, as opposed to last year not having him, certainly the best value for money player in Major League Soccer. He adds an awful lot. And a little concerning maybe with Giovinco and Elfador's ankle hasn't trained. He also was 3.5 weeks, both of them, in between games. This MLS playoffs just goes on, and they've got to tighten it up somehow. But from a player standpoint, guys, I mean, only playing that amount of time in between games is a real leveler and very difficult to keep momentum.
From a player's perspective, the psychology of waiting and what happened last year, losing at home and not wanting that to repeat. Does that stay in your mind as a player, or do you just, it's like what you do on the training pitch, how you're setting up for the game. Does it play a role?
Yeah, it does. More so when you're by yourself, maybe sitting at home in the evening, it sort of plays on your mind. It's something that you will think about. But when you get into the game, when you get into training, and when the moment actually comes, you have to put yourself in that moment, and it's about the process. I think a lot of pressure the players put on themselves is because they're thinking of the end product, or they're thinking of the final result, the lifting of the trophy, and how disappointing it would be if it's not them. You still have to go through the process, and there's a lot to go through, and just focus on what you need to do over that process. And at the end of the day, you hope that playing well will be good enough that the performance will help the result.
Now, Craig, a little bit earlier on in the show, we mentioned Greg Vanney's comments about TFC having to go through a little bit of a more intense road to the MLS Cup playing in the Eastern Conference than the Seattle Sounders did playing in the West. Do you think that ultimately matters going into the MLS Cup final, or is it these teams are both professionals? They've been around so long that it really doesn't matter what road they had to take to get to Saturday's game ultimately.
Yeah, and that's a difficult one. I mean, you could say that because it was tougher for Toronto SC. And I think it was. I think the East is, you know, stronger overall, and Seattle was the class, I think, of the West, certainly near the end. When it comes to this 90 minutes, there's certain things are going to go. Seattle will come in thinking they have nothing to lose because they won last year and the pressure's on Toronto, and that is true. And then on the other hand, they've had an easy road, so they're healthy, fit, and that might suit them, or maybe it doesn't. But I think overall, Toronto playing at home They are the better side on paper, and that should show through. But never say die with the Seattle side, who have played very well getting here.
The Sounders last year could sit back. Basically, they started the game and ended it the same way. We're playing for penalties. We're going to sit back, and we're just going to absorb. What's different this year? Because I don't think they can do that this year like they did last year. What's different with this TFC side?
With the TFC side, I think is Victor Vasquez. I think he adds so much more to it. You'll see the usual Bradley, who I thought was exceptional against Columbus on a couple of occasions. His reading of the game is as good as anybody in Major League Soccer history, to be honest. And I think Vasquez has got the quality to unlock and El Tador if he's 100% fit, which I don't know if he will be, and Giovinco to play like they have done all season long. So they add that little bit at a cutting edge. And also they can, you know, win and grind out games, which is, I think, the experience they gained from last year. So nothing's really fazed them from the time they lost last year to moving all the way through to an exceptional regular season. Just one more game, 90 minutes to finish off, which really is an extraordinary historic season for Toronto FC.
He is at CraigForrest1 on Twitter. Craig, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today.
My pleasure, guys. Thanks for having me.
And Thomas,
Tiamis, yes.
Tiamis. We're almost at that point in the show where we say goodbye to listeners. But before we get to that and before we wrap things up entirely, what are your final thoughts or what are some of your thoughts heading into Saturday? And I mean, we've already gotten your point of view that this is going to be all TFC. This is going to be their...
It's not going to be all TFC, but I'm just saying they're going to win.
This is going to be their moment to shine.
What's playing on my mind?
If Seattle is going to win, what do they need to do?
What they need to do? Ooh, good question. Right on the spot. Well, I think they can't sit back. Like Craig said, having Vasquez as the X factor this year, because he opens up so many doors. I don't think Seattle can sit back. I think they need to attack. Now, not all-out attack, but they need to register one, maybe two, possibly three shots on goal, because they're going to have to score. I don't see this game going to penalties. I don't see this game going 120 minutes. So I'm going to say for Seattle to win, they're going to have to attack and attack hard, because you need to silence that crowd. You know how you say the longer it lasts, 0-0, it plays into the advantage? I use that with Columbus. And it kind of did, because the longer it went, you're looking going, can't even get open. We can't break through. Seattle needs to shut this crowd up early and fast. That's their key to victory.
Well, Thomas, the unfortunate thing in MLS Cup rematches is that there's never been a split.
Yeah. I that's what I said earlier with Houston and
there's
the
never
Rebs.
Been a split. One team is always
well. There's
won
a first
all.
Time for everything, and I want to see. Do you remember those old Steven Seagal movies, Jean-Claude Van Damme movies, where they were wronged and then they come out for blood? That's the type of finish I want to see. I want to see TFC frothing at the mouth, out for blood. God, that's what I want to see.
Well, see, the problem is you're wearing a New England Patriots sweater, and I'm a Buffalo Bills fan, and I talked a little bit earlier about watching my team lose four straight Super Bowls. So I've still got that in the back of my mind, and I don't think I will ever get over that.
To be fair, the one negative that I do have is the fact that it would be so Torontonian for this city to lose two championships at home. That's the only negative I have that's kind of, you know, floating in my head, is that this is Toronto. We never win. Because I don't really count the Argos. I don't know if that's wrong, but I don't think it's wrong. But we never win the big game. We never even get to the big game. The fact that we were getting to there twice now and to lose again, it's very Torontonian for that to happen.
Well, let's get into the MLS Best 11, because it was announced and we should talk a bit about it because there were some Toronto FC players included in it.
Surprise, surprise.
Surprise, surprise, when you have the greatest point total in MLS history. Goalkeeper, no shock here, Tim Melia from Sporting Kansas City. I alluded to during that interview with Craig Forrest that Sporting Kansas City had the best defensive record and Melia was a huge reason for that. Justin Morrow, Toronto's very own and well-deserved here, was named one of the defenders, as was Ike Opara, Kendall Waston from the Vancouver Whitecaps. Midfielders, Miguel Amaron from Atlanta. Atlanta United.
Yeah, Atalanta.
Not Atalanta. This wasn't Serie A. Victor Vasquez from TFC, of course, and Diego Valeri, also named MLS MVP earlier today as well. He is obviously included in that best 11. And up top, Sebastian Jovinko.
Which makes no sense to me, but especially this year.
But they'll take it. Joseph Martinez as well from Atlanta United. Nikolic from Chicago. And David Villa from New York City FC.
You know what bothers me the most is Bradley gets no love. And we say this all the time, but you know, Craig just said it too. Arguably one of the best players in his position. Arguably one of the best players in his position. Hold the ball, control the game, calmness, everything. It's not a glamorous position, and he gets no love. Not surprised at it, because given that position, like we spoke about it earlier too, Claude Makélélé was always thought to be a great player, but he never really got the love he deserved until after he left Chelsea, and you saw what happened to Chelsea in that position. He was such a driving force in that team that you really didn't appreciate him till he was gone. And I think that's going to happen with Bradley. You're not going to appreciate his true quality until it's gone, because he is unbelievable as that defensive midfielder.
And at AML Rock will agree with you. I put the question up a little bit earlier on Twitter, at Kubani7, at UnfitRef, at Mendelich. You can get a hold of us. But I put it up on Twitter a little bit earlier heading into the studio. Just what's on the mind of TFC fans heading into, or now that we are in MLS
Hit
Cup week.
It.
And at AML Rook, if Michael Bradley, and he's basically sharing your sentiments, if Michael Bradley is the most important player on the team that set the MLS record for most points in a season, why is he not part of this MLS Best 11? And I think you hit the nail on the head that sometimes you just don't appreciate players of his quality.
Especially in that position, because it's such an unglamorous position. You really have to know soccer to understand how key and important a player like Bradley is to this team. You really have to, because you don't see, he doesn't do anything spectacular that'll make highlight reels. He just plays 90 minutes at 100%.
90 minutes at 100%, and he's always ready to go. And this
great
team,
leader.
This team always seemed ready to go because you're right, he is a great leader, and that should not be overlooked as well, because this is a team that had their hearts broken last year. Make no mistake about it. That has to be the most gut-wrenching way to lose.
And it starts from Bradley.
A final at home. And he mentioned in the post-game press conference, listen, our season started the next day. We
exactly.
would have played the next day if we could have. And that team, that environment, to go out there now after losing the way you lose at home in penalty kicks, after holding your opponents and not even a single shot on net, it takes a whole lot to find that motivation to go out there in February, in January, during that preseason training and do it all over again over a 34-game regular season, get through the playoffs, and get back to where they did. But like I said, life often doesn't hand you second opportunities. They did for Toronto FC, and they will get that chance on Saturday.
And that's the thing. It's a heavy workload for a captain, and it shows more to Bradley's quality is psychologically being able to lift his teammates at every turn, having to be that driving force, lead by example, always, 90 minutes, 34 games out of the season, into the playoffs. Your teammates are looking to you to provide leadership, and he does it every game, every minute.
Great question on Twitter from JB.
When did you become American?
When I become American.
You got this American accent going.
JB at AKA underscore VG Mario. If Seattle score first, are TFC going to have enough to score two goals given the lack of scoring chances and finishing capabilities this playoffs and against a team who can defend for 90 plus minutes? Will they be too exposed at the back if they push for goals? That's a great question.
I don't think so. I think it plays into their hands. Don't look at the playoffs and say, oh, this is the new TFC. They don't score goals. They defend and try to catch on the counter. They haven't been scoring the goals like they did in the regular season. No, that's the team. The team can score goals. So even if Seattle score a goal first, which they should, I'm telling you, they should throw the kitchen sink at TFC right at the beginning of the game. They have to get the crowd out of the game early. Now, Can TFC score two goals? Yes, they can score three. They can score four. Don't worry about that if Seattle does score first. Although, if you're a Sounders fan, that's what you want. Yeah, no Sounders fans are listening to this podcast.
Got to mention a little bit of an interesting stat. After a 3-0 shutout versus Houston, Sounders have now not allowed a goal in their last 647 minutes in the MLS Cup playoffs. Stephen Fry is the all-time individual record holder with a shutout streak of 557 minutes. However, Alex Bono's next win will tie TFC's all-time wins record with 30, held by, you guessed it, Stephen Fry.
Yeah, I don't really read too much into stats prior games that they played against each other. Oh, Stephen Fry hasn't conceded a goal in this long. It's one game. It's who gets up for it first. The training, the preparation. What happens in the past doesn't matter. What happened yesterday doesn't matter. It's all about Saturday. So just because they've been holding clean sheets like nobody's business doesn't mean that TFC can't score a bucket load of goals.
And in a one-game final, anything can happen like we saw last year. It's not always the greatest team. I think in a two-leg final or in a two-leg series,
cream rises to the top.
Exactly. Often you see the better team over that 180 minutes win or prevail. That's not always the case in a 90-minute match. Now, unfortunately, we got to end the show on a rather sad note because our thoughts and prayers go out to Leo Abraham's family. Unfortunately, he was the TFC supporter driving home after Wednesday's big win and was tragically killed in a car accident. So our thoughts and our prayers go out to him and his entire family. You can go visit TFC website for the GoFundMe page to help support his family out. They've already raised over $55,000, which is absolutely incredible. And shout out to the entire TFC and the entire MLS community for helping that.
How awesome is those GoFundMe?
It's amazing. And especially in situations like this that are as tragic as this, it's nice to see some sort of good prevail. Their goal is to reach $75,000, so help them get there. They're not far off. TFC, visit the website. And again, now, if you cannot watch Saturday's huge match, remember, you can listen to it right here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, because Dan Riccio makes his triumphant return to BMO Field alongside James Sharman.
Can't wait to see that little hedgehog again.
I wonder what he's going to be wearing.
I don't know. I haven't. You know what? I've seen pictures of him, and he doesn't have a beard now. It's going to be so weird to see him without a beard.
He's a changed man now. He's in Vancouver. But again, he will be calling the game Saturday. The pregame starts right here on The Fan at 3:30. So make sure you're checking that out. And we're going to have a ton of stuff coming up throughout the week. So make sure you're listening. Make sure you're following on Twitter. Make sure you're staying connected to the iTunes and all that. Subscribe, because it is MLS Cup week. It's here in Toronto.
And look out for us at BMO on Saturday,
too.
Oh, yeah,
we'll be there. We'll be there, and we'll be having a good time. At Kubani7, Marco D'Onofrio is how you can get a hold of me on Twitter. He is Thomas Michalakos at UnfitRef. And behind the glass, the man who makes it all happen, Emil Delic, is at Amandelic.
Who is very quiet today. Usually he comes up and says something sometimes, the majority of the time on our podcast now. Mm. He speaks, but for some reason he's not speaking. he can't even get a word in when there's a Christian in time.
Silence from the production booth. But thank you very, very much for joining us on TFC Pitchside. And again, make sure you're subscribing on iTunes to stay caught up on all the latest TFC news. Michael Leach from 680 News with that training report. Thank you very, very much for that. He will also be at the game on Saturday, so you can check out him as well. We are out of here.
Well, if you need me, I'm right here. No matter what, I'm always near. Yeah, I've been through a lot and you can't scare me. Now go on, baby, if you just dare me, I'll break through any wall. Just give me a call. I'm a dynamiter. I'm a prize fighter. But if you get sad, I'm your friend. I got an ear.